You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning, everybody. So imagine you're Governor Rod Blagojevich. Okay, you've got a lot of stuff.
It's a bleeping valuable thing.
And what would you sell as governor?
Hey, guys, at The Takeaway, this is Ethan in Williamsburg. I just want you to know I am selling the Brooklyn Borough presidency to the highest bidder. This offer expires at noon today.
Nice. How much is a Senate seat worth, the borough presidency? If you were a governor, what would you sell? 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake at thetakeaway.org.
Joining us now is Martin Plout, a BBC Africa editor and our pal here at The Takeaway. Martin is joining us to talk about some developments on the continent of Africa, specifically two countries. Good morning, Martin.
Hi, Adora. How are you?
Let's talk about this very close presidential race in Ghana, which has really been a beacon for the last 20 years or so for a peaceful transition of power in government.
Indeed, it's been an extraordinary example to the rest of Africa, which of course is living through a situation where you've had both in Kenya and Zimbabwe, terrible examples after elections were fought. But the Commonwealth Observer Group were there, just talked about how well it went despite the quite challenging circumstances. So it's been really an excellent election and really a model to the whole continent so far.
And it's very close and perhaps could lead to a runoff. But there sounds like from the reporting that there are some real tensions about this race.
There are some tensions, but, so far they've been managed very well. It was extraordinary that my colleagues who were at the International Press Center tell me that the press actually excluded the main candidates from the center after they'd made what they considered were two strong statements, which is an extraordinary turnaround for the press to take. But yes, indeed, things are looking very tight. The one thing that now looks as if there might be a runoff in a second round in the presidential elections, which would take place on the 27th or 28th of December, and you might even have a situation where the opposition wins the parliament, but the ruling party at the moment with Nana Akufo-Addo becomes the president. You then would have a bit of a split, so that could be difficult.
Well, there's democracy at work for you, which brings us now to South Africa and really the aftermath of a split in the African National Congress after the ouster of former President Thabo Mbeki. Tell us the latest stresses.
Well, what's happened is that a party broke away from the ANC. This is called COPE, the Congress of the People. I went to their inaugural meeting, and they've now are fighting the first seats. These are just local government seats, but it's the first indication of what kind of support they're going to get. These are mostly in the Western Cape. They're very fiercely contested. Unfortunately, the ruling African National Congress didn't manage to get their nominations in on time in 12 seats, so that's been a bit of a problem for them. They've had to actually pull out of those particular races, but in other areas, there is really a race on the go. So we'll have to see. We don't at this stage know how it's going. There have been some intimidation, apparently, by the ANC members against the opposition, according to the Election Commission, but that's about where we are on that one.
And aren't they charging that the Congress of the People don't have a right to use that name?
Well, that's right, because, of course, it's the African National Congress, and it was the Congress of the People which met and drew up the Freedom Charter all those years ago, which is the founding document, which begins so famously, South Africa belongs to all who live in her, black and white. This was, said, I think it was in the 50s. It was an extraordinarily strong statement, and everybody wants to sort of latch on to the legitimacy of that because it's part of the liberation struggle. If I may just say one other thing in Africa that's happened today is that Sheikh Sharif, the opposition leader in Somalia, has also arrived in Mogadishu. We've literally just learnt that. So that's quite a breaking story because
there's,
it could change
there's
the
leaders,
situation.
Martin, in Somalia? I'm confused.
Well, you're right. I mean, what sort of leaders? But he was the opposition leader who was based in Eritrea. He's a member of the Islamist group. You remember the Islamic courts that were thrown out by the Ethiopians?
Mm-hmm.
He's now come back to Mogadishu, to the capital, and say that that's really quite a breaking story. How is that going to be responded to by, the other Islamists, some of whom haven't gone in and are still attacking the Ethiopians, but he seems to have come over to the other side. It's quite a change.
Well, quickly, Martin, does that suggest gains for the radicals in Somalia, or maybe consolidation of more moderate forces in that very, as you alluded to, chaotic country?
You know, you can read it any way, which way you like. There are some towns in which I believe there are three different Islamist groups now in control, some of them now fighting each other. If you can make sense of that, you're a better man than I.
And what's the level of foreigners in Somalia at this point and their role in those variety of groups that you just mentioned?
Well, the foreigners are involved in many different ways. I mean, for example, the Eritreans are reported to be backing the Islamists. On the other hand, the transitional federal government, which has the support of the United Nations and the African Union, is supported by the Ethiopian troops who are in the country but say that they will leave by the end of December. And you then have an African Union force of Rwandans and Ugandans who are also supporting the transitional force, but they're looking in an increasingly perilous position. It's a mess, to put it bluntly.
Martin, what's your 2 cents on the pirates off the coast of East Africa?
Well, they up and running. They're a thriving industry. They just grab a ship a day, more or less, and park it away and demand a couple of million dollars for its release. They're doing extremely well. Now, there's been a recent development. Has been that the European Union is now trying to send a force down there to work with the Indian forces, the American forces, who are all trying to stop them. But so far, it's pirates one, the rest of the world zero.
Martin Plaut, always a pleasure, sir.
Okay, speak to you soon.
Martin Plaut is the BBC or a BBC Africa editor and our pal here at The Takeaway.
And those pirates have all that fabulous beachfront property there in Mogadishu.
What do you say? Pirates won, the international world zero. Well, we're going to turn over to Femi Oke, who's got the headlines.
Thank you. Just coming up to 29 minutes past the hour.